Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live with the Minister of Defense of Bryson City, North Carolina, with a Shady Creek Bluegrass Quartet. Well, we're glad to have you aboard here as we open up the message tonight going into the continuation of our search for the Kinsman Redeemer. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to call our message tonight the pen of the lion scribe. We're going to show you, ladies and gentlemen, this may, perhaps, if you love mystery and intrigue, and I'm sure that you do, especially in the Bible, I am going to show you why the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in a flesh body, warned you to beware of the pen of the lying scribes. We're going to show you exactly and underline the words that are omitted both interlinearly and in the margin of the English to the reference of the text as we are determined to flush out the error of the wicked and the lying pen of the scribes and rightfully restore the birthright to the Kinsman Redeemer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Judah, most people believe that the Kinsman Redeemer was a Judite. In our search through the scriptures, we find that that's not true. We're going to pin it and prove it, and the Bible says to prove all things in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, verse 50 through 51, we find the word Ephratiah. Ephratiah. These were the sons of Caleb, the son of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratiah. Now, who's Ephratiah? Well, is the scribes trying to indicate that she was a Jew or out of the house of Judah? Well, they've done a masterful job in other places as we go into the search in the book of Ruth and in the book of Chronicles, chapter 4, and show you the sly, cunning craftiness of the pen of the scribes who lie. And Christ was taking issue with them many times in the New Testament presentation where this man that actually knew what bloodline he was from. And ladies and gentlemen, we base our life in ministry on the fact that he wasn't a Jew. Guaranteed. And we are the only preacher that I know of on radio. Now, I'm publicly challenging all the other false prophets or the deceived prophets or both. Now, if you're deceived and you got an honest heart, this should change you. If you're a lying prophet and you go along with the lying conspiracy of those who conspired to steal the birthright because it's a money-making scheme, and ladies and gentlemen, money-making it is. Let me show you again. Notice this particular style of the scribes as they set about very early on to bring the word Ephratah and associate it with Judah or the house of Judah. Again, the sons of Caleb. Now, who was Caleb? Well, he was the 80-year-old man that wanted to go up on top of the mountain in the book of Joshua, or as they came into the land of promise. He wanted to chase and flush the giants out, and he later did so. But he married a woman. This would be his second wife. He married a woman from the tribe of Ephraim. Her name, she was called a Nephratite. So therefore, the word Ephratiah. Now, they seem to pin it here to give you the idea that Ephratah was the father of Kirjath Jearimah. Selma, the father of Bethlehem. Ladies and gentlemen, now wait a minute. She couldn't be the father. She had to be the mother. See how the deceptive lying pen of the scribes here in 1 Chronicles 2:50 again. The son was named Hur, H-U-R, was the firstborn of Ephratiah. That was the woman. And Hur was the father of Kijah-Jerah, or Salma, the father of Bethlehem, not Ephratiah. You see, they're trying to associate an Ephraimite so that they can eventually bring this word Ephratah and associate it with Bethlehem, Judea, when it wasn't. And we can prove it geographically. We have in the Kinsman Redeemer series that we've been doing as we go back to the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we read about a certain place in the Bible which was called Bethel. Now, Bethel was in the territory of Joseph Ephraim's birthright birthplace. So the Messiah should have been born in Bethlehem Ephratah. And the lying scribes knew it when they misquoted Matthew chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. They indicated that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem, Judea. Part of the conspiracy, as we have found the key of deception to show you, the serious Bible students. You have to be an advanced Bible student. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just fell off the turnip truck or got in town yesterday, this ain't going to work for you. If you're one of those Bill Box mentality, been browbeat that the Jews are God's chosen people and you believe that crap, you're not going to grasp this message. It's going to be too deep and it's going to go right over your head because this is a deep message. Now, as we go to 1 Chronicles 4, verses 1 through 4, the sons of Judah. Now, notice how they, again, the lying scribes, bring Ephratah, the woman. They don't bring another woman up here until they get to Ephratah. They want you to associate this word with Judah. And we're telling you that the scriptures never associate the word Ephratah with Judah, except under the pen of the lying scribes. The geographical territory is basically 30 miles apart. And we're going to prove that to you before we get out of here tonight. The sons of Judah, far as... Now, ladies and gentlemen, right here is an omission of the lying scribes as they try to cover up the firstborn of Judah. Now, Phares is not the firstborn of Judah. And to him goes the blessing or the flagship or the birthright. This should go in the house of Judah. It should not go to Phares. It should go to the eldest son. They omit him. Very, very, very crafty and sly pen of the lying scribes as they start out the sons of Judah with Phares. And I don't blame them. I would have done the same thing if I'm trying to cover up the firstborn. And they're mentioning the firstborn here, but they leave out Shelah of the book of Genesis, chapter 38, where the Bible says that Judah married a Canaanite woman against Yahweh's laws. These sons will never inherit. But it, under the law, it has to be from the birthright son to have the distinctive honor of letting the Messiah come through the firstborn, or following the bloodline of the firstborn. And the lying pen of the scribes gets you to believe through the word Ephratah associated with Judah instead of Ephraim. It's an Ephraiman word, and we're going to prove it to you. We're going to prove to you that the ancestors of Christ in the genealogy, where they have expertly changed and altered, very subtle, we've caught them. We're catching them right here in 1 Chronicles 4, 1 through 4. I don't have enough time. The sons of Judah, Phares, Harum, Karmah, Hur, there he is, Shobah, and Reah, the son of Shobah, fathered Japheth, and Japheth fathered Ahumah, and Lahad, These are the families of the Zorites, and these the father of Ephlon, Jerez, Ishmael, Abiash, and the name of their sister Hazelbahoria, and Penu, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Hushath. These are the sons of Hare, the firstborn, Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. Now, they again add the woman's name instead of the son. But they wanted you to associate this name, and most of the concordances and most of the commentaries of those out of this mentality that's been brainwashed by the lying pen of the scribes believe, as they misappropriate this word, its name, its geographical location, and we prove and take on all challenges from anywhere, whether they be well-educated, uneducated, like myself, in schooling, but with the Spirit of Yahweh, who has said here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, a man that is thoroughly furnished and studied to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The firstborn, Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. See, Ephratah, you think that Ephratah is a son in this lineage here, as they mention the father of Bethlehem. So they associate Ephratah and the father of Bethlehem, knowing that the later scribes who would scan the scriptures and put it collectively in a Strong's Concordance, that they would, and commentaries, ladies and gentlemen, and we can show you many commentaries that are erred as is, but the Strong's does not err. It actually gives you the association of two different Bethlehems. Oh, my. But they never mention Bethel. They go up to Zebulun and give you a Bethlehem up there, and then they come back to Bethlehem, Judah, to associate that with Ephratiah, the woman, Caleb's wife. Unprecedented. As they try to get her in here, the firstborn Ephratah. It should be the firstborn of Ephratah, who was Hare, as we have read up here in 4:1, or 2 in chapter 2 now, here that we just read, 250 through 51, for your information. First Chronicles 250 and 51 that we just read. The underlined words are omitted, both interlingually. See, they don't want you, as they go into the margin of the English of the reference text, to hear or to understand that Ephratah, the firstborn of Ephratah, was Hare. H-U-R. This is the son of Caleb. And now they give him the distinctive honor of being the father of Bethlehem. Now, which father of Bethlehem was he? Not the one up in the north. He became associated with the house of Judah, and later, now ladies and gentlemen, when we go into the scriptures to outline the first place that was known as Bethel or Bethlehem Ephratah, it was in the territory of the well that Jacob had described to you in John chapter 4. As we look into the territory and the geographical area, to give you the word Ephratite. We're going to associate the word Ephratite. Oh, my, and we're going to prove that word and show you just how cunning and crafty that the lying pen of the scribes by association. See if they can associate Ephratah into the house of Judah and call him the father of Bethlehem. He was not the father of Bethlehem. That's a lie. The father of Bethlehem was Jacob. The inheritors of Judah, and we start off with Perez. We don't start out with the firstborn of Judah, Shelah. They hide him. They push him under the rug of the haze of this understanding of the principles, where they could cloud the issue and deceive and would deceived by very elect. No wonder they hated Christ, because he knew who he was. He knew where he was from. And they kept looking for another Messiah, because they said, search and look in the book of John, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And this prophet that we believe, all Christianity believe, that this was the prophet or the Messiah, and this prophet was from Galilee, not from Judah. Oh, you say, but he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. That didn't make him a Jew if he was an Ephraimite, if he'd have been born down there. No more than it would make an Ephraimite a Judite if he went down to Bethlehem, Judea, or vice versa, a Judean going up to the land of Ephraim. Now, we're going to talk about that here. Now, here we find in 1 Samuel 1 and 1, there was a certain Levite, a man of the hill country of Ephraim. A Levite. But he was an Ephraimite. Now, how can an Ephraimite be a Levite? Here again, by association of the scriptures of trying to deceive the very elect. And we'll show you why that they wanted to do this, and to cover up this very scripture that I'm fixing to quote to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, 12, the word Ephratite, E-P-H-R-A-T-H-I-T-E. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen. If you look up that word Ephratite, you're going to see something perhaps that you have never seen. Perhaps something you've never thought of, because you always associated Christ with being a Jew. But nowhere in the scripture does it say he was a Jew. He don't claim to be a Jew, nor did he. People tried to say that the Messiah was coming from Judah, but the great debate of John chapter 7 that I discussed with you, beginning at chapter or verse 40 of chapter 7 and going through verse 50, there was a debate about where the Messiah would come from. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no question where our Messiah come from. Yahweh Shua in a flesh body was not a Judite. He was an Ephraimite, right out of the sons of Joseph, the birthright son, for legally and rightfully the firstborn would have to be from the house of Joseph to be an heir or an inheritor of the kingdom principles that the law set up to have. 1 Samuel 17, 12, check it out. Now, this is Jesse. We're going to talk about Jesse in the scriptures, and we're going to talk about him extensively here as we go into the revelation of who Jesse was. Now, if we look at the scriptures of the Bible, and we look and we try to discuss the word in Judges chapter 12. Let's go there. We're going to Judges chapter 12, verse 1, and we're going to look at the word Ephraim and Ephratite. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward. Now, when they say northward, it is in the northern Galilee kingdom, where the land of Bethel, 35 miles above Bethlehem, Judea. Ladies and gentlemen, right where Jacob said Bethlehem Ephratah. See, the original Bethlehem was Bethlehem Ephratah, and so the lying scribes tried to associate Judah with Ephratah, as they did in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and chapter 4. And they did it by inserting an Ephraimite, a mother, a woman, into the bloodline of Perez. And it just won't work. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't fly in the face of the evidence. And we're bringing the evidence. The men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and they passed over to fight against the children of Ammon. And they were called up to go, and there they did. Now, notice this, ladies and gentlemen, that when they went up, that they found something very important. Now, we're going to drop down for the sake of time. As I hurry along in this message, you better take notes. Or you better call me and ask for this CD. Maybe the most important bit of information that's come down the pike. This is original. This is prime rib. taken from the word of Yahweh. Judges chapter 12, verse 4. Then Japhon gathered together the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, "You Gadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites." Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it strange that the Ephraimites, here is Strong's number, 669, the second son of Joseph? Well then, why do we have any problem with Jesse being an Ephraimite when everybody believes through the lying pen of the scribes that he's from the tribe of Judah? Look at same word up, ladies and gentlemen. Stones number 669 from the dual word origin of 672 and 673. Ephraim. It's a masculine name, meaning that there's no female here, as they tried to insert Ephratah, the Ephraimite that married into the house of Caleb, the Judite. And now the scribes, taking advantage of this, insert her into the genealogy that she was, meaning that nobody ever catches this, that it was her, H-U-R, that was the firstborn that became the father of Bethlehem. Now, this is later when Bethlehem Judea came into, because long before Bethlehem Judea was Bethlehem Ephratah, and they are, without question, geographically, two different places. Well, Micah, oh my, I just can't wait to get over to let you see that. Now, let me give you the definition again. Ephraim, double fruitful. Second son of Joseph, but the firstborn. Blessed by him and given preference over the first one, Manasseh, a descendant of the tribe of Ephraim. In the mountain country of Ephraim, sometimes used name for the northern kingdom, by Hosea and Isaiah, and the worship center was at Shiloh, and the place of heritage that Joseph inherited was Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephraim. 176 times is Ephraim, but Ephraimite is only listed four times. And so the scribes very expertly, since an Ephratite, and most people, they didn't think would ever check it out. Christ knew it. Your pastor buddy knows it. And if you've ever studied with Pastor Buddy in any length of time, all my students know this. It's not news to them. They know it. And I'm driving the point home of adding emphasis and challenging all of the false prophets. Now, if you're a deceived prophet or you're a deceived lay member of some false church or some seem right way, and the Bible said there is a seem right way. All right, verse 5. Here again, we're going to go to Judges chapter 12, verse 5. And the Gileadites took passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. Look that word up again. Click on it, ladies and gentlemen. Go to your strong. Do your homework. Search out these things. And go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, and see that Hannah, her husband, married her. They were Ephraimites, and they produced Samuel the Ephraimite that ruled and judged in the time of the judges. Samuel ruled in Ramah, which is in the territory of Bethlehem Ephratah. Oh my, that's where David went to be crowned king. That's where, oh my, that's where Samuel found the seven sons, as he called for the sons of Jesse, the Ephraimite, not the Judite. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, my heart grieves for the deception, the lying pen of the scribes that will not tell the truth. There's no truth in them. They're liars. They were covering up the fact that their father, and this is who Christ was addressing in John 8:44, your father's the devil, Cain, association by the Canaanite woman with the blood of Judah. That's how the serpent got into the house. And that's how they stole the birthright, by becoming scribes. Of 1 Chronicles chapter 2, 55, the Shelites are the family of the scribes. Oh my, have we ever got on to something here? Ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to know the truth, you ought to be shouting. You ought to be praising Yahweh for the opportunity to hear a prophet in the last days come forth that is prophesied out of the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26. There would be a movement starting the earth that would turn Jacob from his ungodliness, worshiping the Jews as God's chosen people, when they ought to come back to the true house of the birthright son, Joseph, when all the other 12 sons would bow to him. No exception. 13 sons in this kingdom principle, all of them will acknowledge before this is over with the reuniting of the house, and there shall come a deliverer in the last days that will turn Jacob back to the old path. Jacob knew where he's from. He knew where he was at in Bethlehem Ephratah. You don't know, because you've been lied to by the cunning craftiness and the tradition of the elders. And Christ said, farewell. You will hear the word because you love tradition. And once you ingrain it, once you set this word into people's mind, it takes a prophet that has to speak harshly. And pardon my intensity, ladies and gentlemen, I have reasons. My heart grieves for the deception and the lying pen of the scribes, as they have taken advantage of those who do not search the scriptures for their soul salvation. You better search them. You better not trust Pastor Buddy. You better look and see if I'm telling you the truth here. They passed over before the Ephraimites. Strong's number 669. Well, that's what Jesse was, an Ephratite. That's what David was. Oh, my. That's what Boaz was. The kinsman redeemer that redeemed the house of Elimelech in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Elimelech and his two sons were Ephraimites, not Judites, as the lion pen of the scribes in the fourth chapter very expertly again, as they did in Second Chronicles, as they look for a place to insert again the bloodline of Zarah and mention Bethlehem Ephratah. By putting the Ephratite woman, Caleb's wife, Ephratah, an Ephraimite, wasn't against the law for the tribes to intermarry. It was commanded. It was okay for an Ephraimite to marry into the house of Judah, but that didn't make those who were there Ephraimites, because Caleb's sons were Judites. Hur, H-U-R, was a Judite, but his mother was an Ephraimite. All of the house of Israel is related. Everybody talks about the Jews, and they think that that's just one tribe, and that all Israel is Judah. A lie of the conditioning of those who call themselves Jews and are not. Only the devil in his wisdom could do this. Only the devil could pull off the greatest heist in history. Only the devil could deceive the very elect. And ladies and gentlemen, unless you repent and turn from your evil ways and confess the truth, you will not see the kingdom. Again, verse 6 of Judges 12. And they said unto him, Sheboth, and he said, for he could not frame to pronounce it right, then they took and slew him because he couldn't speak the language that he was supposed to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that everybody doesn't speak it correctly? If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. And I know a false prophet, a brand jackass, as far as I can hear his voice. Oh, they love money. They love the praise of men. They love tradition. They don't love to struggle and fight for truth. There's no integrity within their internal being. But ladies and gentlemen, if you love the truth, you'll stand against all opposition, no matter how overwhelming, as Gideon the Ephraimite did. As David the Ephraimite did, and you dare to call him a Jew, you lying scribes, you deceived preachers, or maybe you're liars also. Most of you are. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000 by just this one simple transgression. 42,000 Ephraimites died. How many has died believing that Christ was a Jew and didn't even have enough information out of their own heart and mind to know that the birthright son was an Ephraimite? If David was an Ephraimite, Jesse was an Ephraimite. If Jesse was an Ephraimite, Obed was an Ephraimite. If Obed was an Ephraimite, Boaz was an Ephraimite. If Elimelech was an Ephraimite, then his two sons were Ephraimite, and that's Strong's number 669, not a Judite. We're bringing it to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, free and postpaid. We're not charging you anything. You'll be charged at the day of judgment. This is free information that took years of toil and labor and fasting and praying and searching. Ladies and gentlemen, I have had an intense internal desire to search out the mysteries of the Bible. And if you don't, or if you don't follow someone that has, you will go to the ditch, because if the blind, the scribes, or the lion pen of the scribes, who have blinded people by tradition and ignorance and fear and superstition, that Christ was a Jew when he was not. I'm proving it here. Amalek was an Ephraimite. You say, but it says Bethlehem, Judea. The lion pen of the scribes. It should have been Bethlehem Ephratah, but you see, they know when to change the scriptures, when it's to their advantage. But just because Amalek was an Ephraimite, and let's suppose that he was living in Bethlehem, Judea, did that make him change his blood? Of course not. My, how I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit here tonight. Praise Yahweh. I know this message is going home. It's going into the heart of the pure. Only the pure in heart shall see the hidden mysteries and the meat that has been hidden for centuries and generations. In the last days, the sons of Jacob, whether they be Ephraimites, Judites, or anything, all these sons, regardless of where they're from, are now returning to the sacred circle. They're repenting of their sins. They're taking on the great magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh into their minds, their forehead. And they're going into their pocketbooks, and they're supporting Pastor Buddy to preach this message around the world, that Christ was an Ephraimite, a descendant of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Obed, the offspring of Boaz and Ruth. David and Jesse, offsprings of the same bloodline, of the offspring of the kinsman, Amalek, and his two sons, all of them Ephraimites, not a Jew in the crowd, till you get to the fourth chapter, where they insert again, out of context and out of place, the lion pen of the scribes, and Christ took them to task. Here's Pastor Buddy taking them to task. proven. When people say, well, Christ wasn't a Jew, I know he wasn't. Christian identity is one of the most ignorant and unlearned fellowships that I've ever been associated with to try to preach with. On one side of their mouth, they say Christ is a Jew. On the other side, they say that the Jews are of Cain. But they don't explain the difference between the two because they don't have the book knowledge. Well, here's Pastor Buddy. I'm giving you the explanation of how that the serpent seed, ladies and gentlemen, we can't blame Judah for his lust. We've all lusted. We've all failed. We've all come short. But Satan certainly took advantage of it, and he sowed the greatest lie of deception by getting into the house in the bloodline of Judah. In the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verse 12, it will tell you who the firstborn of Judah is. His name was Er, E-R. The second was Onan. The third one was Shelah. The first two sons died, and Shelah was to raise up a bloodline for a birthright to the house of Judah. Judah feared the life of Shelah and would not give Shelah to Tamar, the Israelite woman that had been deceived, knowing that Judah was a brother, and she took it for granted that she didn't know the bloodline was tainted. I'm sure she didn't know it. Well, we've got millions and millions of Israelites that are tainting their blood through ignorance. My people, Hosea 4 and 6, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They've never fasted a day in their life. Ladies and gentlemen, I've went 40 days and 40 nights without a bite of food, pleasant food in my mouth, without any strong drink or wine in my mouth, drinking only brinch water, trying to hold on and seek the kingdom mysteries. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go basically to a song right now. Another song from Shady Creek, one of the favorites. Many people have requested this song since we played it on the air. I'd like to send it out to Riverside, California, and up in the great state of Michigan, and to all the brothers and sisters that love a mother. Shady Creek Quartet. Brother Ron doing the lead on there. Brother Odell and his brother Alan and brother Ed. Members of the Shady Creek, the famous men of Bryson City, Murphy, North Carolina. Oh, my, we really enjoy them. They were there live at our festival where we had a great meeting at Brother Dean and Angela's right there in Murphy, North Carolina. Brother Dean, if you're listening tonight, you and Angela, we send this greeting to you in racial covenant. May the blessings of Yahweh for your labor of love by hosting the festival there that we baptized 10 precious souls. I want you to know that you won't lose your reward. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at the word Bethel, means house of Yah. It's an ancient place and seat of worship in Ephraim. Oh, my. Bethel, the ancient place of worship. Genesis chapter 35. The original Bethlehem, Ephratah. Not Bethlehem, Judea. Ladies and gentlemen, this time there was no Bethlehem, Judea. Judah wasn't even born. I'm sorry, but he hadn't come on the scene. And it wasn't the true house of Judah that deceived everybody. They knew who they were. It's Satan's seed that come through the bloodline of Judah. As we gave you the reference of Genesis chapter 46 and verse 12. Notice this. As we look in the 35th chapter, I'm going to give you the Strong's number, and to prove to you that the word Bethel was Bethlehem, ancient place and seat of worship in Ephraim, in the city that used to be Luz, L-U-Z, its former name was Luz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, notice the sly pen of the scribes. As you go to one of the commentators and one of the dictionaries, and they say it was a place in the south country of Judah, not far from Beersheba and Zelag. Ladies and gentlemen, can't be both places geographically. You can't move the tons and tons of dirt. And amazingly, I have prophesied to you that Yahweh will vindicate his word many times over in the mouth of many witnesses. And in the hills of Bethel is the only recorded place upon the planet known to man where Yahweh signed his signature name. And remember, he said, gather where the I place my name. Well, his name is recorded by his own finger as he wrote in the earth. Perhaps as the earth was cooling down in its making, as he created the earth, he signatured his name right at this place, Bethel. Now notice the Strong's number. It's Strong's number 1008. Write it down, check it out. Ancient seat of worship in Ephraim. Joseph Ephraim, the kinsman redeemer, the birthright son, out of whom the Messiah would spring. No wonder he was called a Galilean. That's exactly what he was. Strong's number, 1008. It's from the word origin of 1004 in your Strong's concordance. 66 times it's mentioned in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, 66 times. Isn't that strange? But anyway, we've got the evidence that Christ would be born from this union or this bloodline association, because Moses spoke of a prophet in the last days will raise up, and my name, he said, Yahweh's name, meaning the prophecy, said, my name will be in him. Well, just at Bethel, the name written at a place where the Messiah was born, Bethlehem Ephratah. Notice this. Rachel died and was buried in Ephrah, which is Bethlehem. Now, everybody believes that Rachel's grave is in Bethlehem, Judea. I can prove it wasn't. So we won't give you the scripture, so we'll leave that up to those who would seek to catch me in my words. And cross-reference, the more you're going to cross-reference it, the more it's going to prove Pastor Buddy's correct. I'm just begging you to do your homework. If you have any trouble doing it, call me up and I'll help you. I'll walk you through it. Line upon line, never have to open the Bible to do it. Why? Because I have studied in this message for the last 20 years intensively that I might rightly divide the word and search the scriptures. In 1 Samuel 16, verses 10 through 12, let me show you something. And Yahweh, this is the first verse of 1 Samuel 16. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Saul was a Benjamite out of the house of Rachel. But he done error. And the only reason that he was given to the people, because it was the people that murmured and wanted a king. And Yahweh, very appropriately, still using his birthright king, which David was from, he used a Benjamite, or, if you will, a brother of Joseph, a close affiliate of the house of Rachel, because it was appropriate that the sons of Rachel, the beloved wife, would have the birthright, and it happened to be Joseph instead of Benjamin. Benjamin was, matter of fact, Rachel died right here, at the border of, and the Bible will tell you this, that the border of Benjamin and Ephraim, she was buried. Right there. Not Bethlehem, Judea, on the line. Tour buses go down to Bethlehem, Judea, and show you a pile of stones and say, Rachel's laying under. That's the biggest lie. You know why they lie? Like I said, Christ identified them. He said, your father was a liar, and you lie. And so he said, I'm going to provide me a king. Go up to Jesse, the Ephraimite, the Bethlehemite. Wonder why he said Bethlehemite. We know what Jesse was. He was an Ephraimite, according to 1 Samuel 17 and 12, the next chapter over, if you'd like to read it. He's called here Jesse the Bethlehemite. He lived in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Right at Bethel in the territory of Ephraim, because he was an Ephraimite, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that plain? You think he came from the bloodline of Judah with a lying pen of the scribes who have deceived and would deceive the very elect? For I have provided me a king among his sons, 1 Samuel 16 and 1. Now, notice. Saul, who had despised Yahweh's laws and was rejected of him, as it is written in 1 Samuel 15:23, he continued to occupy the throne for a little time after Yahweh pronounced he was going to get it. Nevertheless, Saul was no longer owned or controlled by Yahweh. And now, he was just given the house of Israel, the whole 12 tribes, a lesson that they rejected, because when Samuel was very displeased that they murmured for a king, he felt like they had rejected him because he was the prophet of Yahweh. And Yahweh told him, he said, quit mourning for Saul. They haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. So Samuel must have been feeling a little bit sorry for himself because of things that he had to undo. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Samuel was a prophet, but he was just obeying the word. And sometimes when Yahweh, he will give in to the will of the people, and he said, if you reject me, I'll reject you. And they rejected Yahweh. And Yahweh gave him a Benjamite to rule over him, and now he's fixing to give him an Ephraimite. And the king that readily types who the Messiah was all about was two men, and Joseph and David. David was a man after Yahweh's own heart, a perfect man in a sense of spiritual kingdom. He was from the house of Ephraim that I have proven. Now notice this. And he sent And he gathered seven sons, Jesse the Ephraimite, gathered seven sons in Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea, Bethlehem Ephratah, where Samuel was an Ephraimite himself and was familiar with the territory, because he himself was an Ephraimite. And ladies and gentlemen, here is an Ephraimite prophet calling the Ephraimite king, and he called seven, and all seven failed the test. Eight is a new beginning, ladies and gentlemen, and Yahweh wanted a new beginning. And here is this man. Now notice what the Bible says about him, and see if you can measure up. And he sent and brought this man, David, in. Just a young lad. He was ruddy, with a beautiful countenance, and he was good looking, according to 1 Samuel 16 and 12. And Yahweh said, arise and anoint him, for this is he, the most blessed. Now, when Solomon wrote about David, he mentioned in the book of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10 and through 16, my beloved is white and ruddy. He's the chief among 10,000. His mouth is sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Oh, my. Oh, here's the bloodline, ladies and gentlemen. White and ruddy. Beautiful. All of Yahweh's people are beautiful. Oh, my. Hallelujah. And how it makes our face shine to know the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, your eyes sparkle and light up when you get a revelation of truth. I hope tonight that you've been revelated. I've got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. My time is coming on. And I'd like to tell you that you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Now, if you'd like to have our message on this subject, just write to me, ladies and gentlemen. Just write to me, Pastor Buddy, and I will be glad to send you this message as the Shady Creek are coming in here. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on the 10th day of the 6th month of June in the Gregorian calendar. That would be 423-626-2172. Now, it's area code 423-626-2172. Praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next Sunday night on The Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy around the world on a mighty transmitting Jewel of the South right out of Nashville, Tennessee, live and direct. The Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy in the house of Yahweh. I'll see you. As a minister of defense of Bryson City and the Shady Creek Boys. Rosie Red. Sing it, Odell. You can call me. I'm live. 423-626-2172. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Many blessings to the house of Jacob Israel.